Welcome to Your Matter Matters, a podcast that explores the questions and curiosities around faith and science. In this podcast, we will not only explore some of the big questions and topics in the conversations between faith and science, but we also embrace the and of faith and science. Too often people are presented with an either-or choice. You have to choose science or faith, faith or science. We hope these conversations and explorations will give you permission to not feel pressured to choose one or the other, but rather to embrace the both and to know that you are not alone in pondering and wrestling with these important questions. We believe God made the material world, so therefore, God loves matter. God loves science. God loves you and me and your neighbor. We are made of matter, and we matter to God and to one another. Our hope is that you can listen to these conversations and gather with friends and the community of faith that you are a part of. Use this podcast series as a Sunday school class or a small group study group. Discuss together what we talked about and keep the conversation moving forward. That's how we learn and grow. This podcast is brought to you by the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology, the North Carolina Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and a grant from the North Carolina Synod Michael Peeler and Virginia Casey Fund. Follow us on Instagram and let us know what inspires awe and wonder within you.
Really, the conversation for me started in high school. I'm a sponge. I absorb everything and it kind of just sits. So my brain files everything away in kind of an alphabetical, topical order. High school biology, learn about evolution. And I'm like, interesting. I then have a conversation with someone who takes the Bible literally, meaning the Bible says it. I believe it. That's it. That invited me to have more questions. Largely in part, I wanted an answer.
Hey, friends, welcome to Your Matter Matters. And hey, here we are, episode one. On this episode, we are going to discuss together why in the world are we doing this podcast in the first place. We have some guests with us today. We have a lot of good questions, and I'm really excited about this series. Thomas, how are you feeling about Your Matter Matters? I know that Your Matter Matters. So how are you feeling about this podcast?
I'm excited. Full disclosure, I am a geek. I am a nerd. I love learning a lot about a lot of things, and particularly faith and science and how those all go together. Will, I have a question for you.
All right, I'm ready.
Is it faith? Is it science? Is it faith or science? Or is it faith and science?
Man, that's a
Or
tough
is
one.
It religion or faith?
Ooh.
Golly, look at that. Already a curveball. Already a Uno reverse card question coming right at me. But let me think about that just for a minute. But again, we're on a podcast, so I don't want to have a minute of dead silence. I'm gonna take a wild shot in the dark here and say faith / religion and science.
There we go.
All right. Yeah, I think we're the podcast that puts the and in faith and science, don't you think, Thomas?
I agree so.
I also argue because people talk about like religion or faith. And when I've written curriculums, I've chosen to use the word faith over religion because I do feel like the word religion itself can kind of come across as like the institution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not, when we talk about this stuff, we're not talking about the institution of organized stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And kind of the point of this podcast, I'll let Thomas share kind of the origin story. We have some other friends here. You hear some other voices out there. And we'll introduce them in a minute. Can't wait. You know, to share, there's a reason why we're doing this podcast and why we think it's important, this series, and some of the questions that we'll lift up in this series. But Thomas presented me with you know, an opportunity to do this series. So, Thomas, share a little bit about the kind of the origin story of this podcast.
Yeah, I have to like dig back in the archives to see how that conversation unfolded. I would say it's the conversation started in the car. Mm-hmm. I'm a big listener of podcasts of all different disciplines. As I was driving, it was probably a sunrise or sunset or sometime in the midday. I was like, I think it'd be really good for the North Carolina Synod, of which Will and I are pastors in, to have a conversation on faith and science, especially as the world is changing, becoming more technologically advanced, especially with artificial intelligence. And we also have gene editing technology. So I thought, I wonder what this would look like. So usually when I'm in the car, I don't text, I call, because it's easier for me to hear another person's voice. And I said, Will, I have this idea. Let's talk about it. What does this look like to you? This podcast is sponsored by the Casey Peeler Grant, which is of the North Carolina Synod. And that provided us an opportunity to say, what does this look like? I know Will had been doing work in the past with faith and science at his congregation. Will's actually the one who brought me on to the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology. So yep. We have the four faith and science and technology. The fact that we have both of these together. So after Will and I talked, we met, we brought it forth to our steering committee to say, this is what we're thinking as science is changing, as science relationship to the church is changing. What does this look like? We talked to the committee members and they said, this is a good idea. What else do you have in mind? So that led us to further conversation, to reaching out to different scientists and theologians. And Will and I happen to know people who are both scientists and theologians. So that's how it all came together. And also, Will, with this podcast, are we going to answer all the questions that we have presented before us?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like between seven episodes, we're going to solve all the questions, answer all the questions, solve all the problems, relieve all the tension in the course of around 7 or 8 hours is kind of like, no. We joke. Like, yeah, in this series, we there are a ton of great resources. We're not the first to do this. There's been people who've come before us, people who come after us that do a good job in having healthy conversations between faith and science. And so we just wanted to present to kind of churches and congregations and small groups, a series of podcasts that would help them kind of be introduced to the main questions that are around faith and science, and then have conversations in small groups. We'll talk a little bit later on about what we hope congregations and small groups can do with the podcast in the series. But yeah, we're not going to answer all the questions. We're just presenting what the main questions are, providing some resources and some voices to give as an example and as a model for healthy a way to have a healthy approach to these questions and have healthy conversations. So, you know, we know that this is important because there's this often kind of stereotype that there's faith or science. So they're in a battle to the end. They're in a boxing ring. You have to have a winner. You have to have a loser. But from a long time, you know, humans, since we've been around, since we could, been asking questions like, how do we get here? Where are we going? Do I matter? Questions about the human condition and the vastness of the universe and where we're headed, all that. And so these questions aren't anything new. How we wrestle with them and how we frame them continue to evolve and change as we explore the world through science and through our communities of faith. So, that's what we hope to do here. And looking forward to that. But we're not alone. We have some friends around us that we brought on to this initial episode to get us started. So we have members of the steering committee of the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology. So what we're going to do is kind of go around the horn here and introduce ourselves, our vocation or background, and then share what you geek out most about in terms of science. What do you find curious What gives you awe and wonder when it comes to science itself? So let's start with Susan. I'm gonna have you go first. Introduce yourself. Who are you? How long you've been with the Alliance? What do you do? What do you geek out on?
I'm a journalist. I also am just intellectually curious, and that's how I came to this discussion. And let me just warn other journalists out there, if you're thinking this is a one and done story, I've been at this for over 20 years. It is not a one and done. But what I geek out on, I was trying to think, there's just so many things and it kind of changes. Right now, I'm really geeking out on neuroscience.
Nice.
And trying to figure out what's going up on up here, mm-hmm. what's going on with this matter, and how does that affect what I believe and who I am.
Nice. So, how long have you been with the Alliance?
Good question. I think I have to think this through. I want to say since 2010 or thereabouts. That's when I started doing the newsletter for the Alliance. But we can talk about that later.
Nice. Cool. Thanks.
All right.
Ida, what? How about you? Who are you? What do you do? What do you geek out on? How long have you been with the Alliance?
Well, I'm Ida Hakkarainen. I retired from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in April 2025 after 32 years of government service. And prior to being at NOAA, I worked as a meteorologist for 12 years in private industry, supporting both NASA and NOAA. And I received my MS in meteorology and my BS in the physical sciences from the University of Maryland at College Park. Now, I first became interested in meteorology after doing a unit on the weather in the fifth grade. My father was an electronics engineer with the federal government, and he designed a moored weather buoy that was deployed at sea. And those buoys provided important information in the days prior to the meteorological satellite era, which began in 1960. Being involved in campus ministry at the University of Maryland was an important part of my journey regarding vocation. God's call is to every person, not just those who serve in rostered leadership or are employed by the institutional church. And the way I got into this beyond making the faith and science connection, in 1993, I attended an international ecumenical conference on science, technology, and the Christian faith. It was held on the campus of Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. And the Lutherans in attendance gathered one evening to brainstorm ideas. Out of that was born the work group on faith, science, and technology, now known as the Lutheran Alliance. So on and off of those years, cool. I've been a member of the steering committee for this group.
Ah, I love that. And that's just a reminder, we're recording in 2025. This is going to go out and hit the airwaves in 2026. You might be listening to this in 2030. I don't know. But that this conversation has been around a long time. Lutherans have been a part of this for a long time. Other faith communities, religious institutions, and organizations have been a part of these conversations for a long time. And yeah, often we think, part of the pastoral care that I do with faith and science is that people come to me with a question. And I'm like, guess what? You're not alone in that question. Someone has asked that before you have ever thought about that question. And someone will continue to ask that question later on. So you're not alone when it comes to this. And so when we're having these conversations around faith and science, I'm always reminded that there's been a lot of good work for many, many years. Doesn't mean that society and times don't evolve and change and new challenges and opportunities present themselves to the world and to the church and to religious institutions. But thanks, Ida, for that. That's great. Yeah, there's been a lot of good work that's been done a long time. Dana, how about you? And then a part of you, what do you do? How long have you been with the Alliance and then what you're geeking out on? And then I'm curious, you're chair of our steering committee, are you not? You're the chair.
I am the chair.
So maybe if someone was with you in an elevator and they're like, what is the Lutheran Alliance for Faith Science and Tech? You would be like, okay, this is what it is. This is what we do. So that's the challenge at the end of your thing. I'll remind you if you forget.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah,
you're welcome. No pressure coming on here. So I'm Dana Hendershot. I've been a pastor in the ELCA since I was ordained in 2008. Yeah, I've been geeking out on this stuff long before that. I started in marine biology, and I actually was doing a semester down in the Florida Keys, and we were studying at the Florida Keys Marine Lab down there on Long Key, and I was doing an internship at the Dolphin Research Center. And after some time at sea, I realized I like people too much to like be an oceanographer out here all the time, much more of a people person. But in the meantime, while I'm doing this internship, I'm realizing that this place on Key Largo is doing this cool new stuff called dolphin human therapy. And so it was kind of mixing a bunch of stuff together. So then I end up going back to school, studying psychology, but studying that neuro part. Like, why does interacting with a dolphin actually like change what's going on in the brain? And being a woman of faith, a friend of mine went to seminary and she sent me a book called Neurotheology. And I was like, can I mix everything I love together? Like, my track really was going to be a neuropsychologist. Now, once I realized they could put God in the mix, which all neurotheology is trying to figure out what in our brain really calls us to want to know something more than ourselves, that kind of stuff. And that is actually still what I'm geeking out on, because the more I'm learning, the more I know. Now I'm going into trauma healing and chanting and all these, some of these things that the church has been trying to offer actually lead to enlightenment. They lead to, you know, the right glands and the right neurons lighting up. They kind of give you that feeling of just oneness with all of it. So I'm totally geeking out and getting all mystic right now.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So as chair of the steering committee for the Alliance that we call it the Alliance Together as intersider language. What are some of the things, you know, you don't have to give a whole long history, but if somebody's in an elevator with you and you're like, you know, what is the Alliance? How would you answer? I'll let Susan, she does a lot of work with that too. I'll let her chime in here in a minute with that too. But what are we about?
Well, ultimately I would say, what are you interested in? I was talking with somebody.
Yeah, I love that question, judo move, because it is like, you're right. Answering a question is very, very important. That's what Jesus did too. Yeah, good stuff.
Well, and every person listening to this is bringing a different question to the table, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And whether they're listening today or whether they're listening 15 years from now, you know, and it adapts and change, which is one of the reasons why we added technology on, right? Mm-hmm. This is the faith, science, and technology group. But it's a bunch of geeks within the Lutheran Church. And we're not just the ELCA. It's a independent Lutheran. So you could be any Lutheran. We would even take strays in. But, you know, who really just want to dive in and be together and discuss the hard stuff, but then try to find ways to get it back into the hands of just regular people to have these conversations that they're just already having without, you know, resources from the people who are doing a lot of research and stuff on these topics.
Yeah. And being a resource and to give people permission to share the and part, right? That there's this stereotype that you have to choose one or the other. And we're like, you can geek out or be a part of both. It's a both and faith and science and technology. All of it go hand in hand. And so to provide resources and current newsletter articles and a website and a resource for folks to engage with, to give them permission that you don't have to choose. You don't have to check your intellect at the door when you come into church, that the questions outside the walls of the church are just as relevant, as important as the ones that we wrestle with on the inside. And so I think that's the being a good resource for folks is great. And I'm glad that we're there. So is there anything else in there you want to chime in about real fast
is a lot of it right there, what you just outlined, but I will take it one other step, because I didn't grow up Lutheran. I think everybody else on this in this group probably did, but I grew up Methodist. Mm. And so I recently did a presentation at my church on faith and science. What is in my title for it was, what does Lutheranism have to do with it? So basically how I got involved in this is a place called LSTC, Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago. For folks who might be aware, they had something called the Zygon Center for Religion and Science. Mm. And a lot of those discussions are highly academic. There's a journal that's published. It's called the Zygon Journal. You can look it up online. It is free. All the articles in there are peer reviewed. But for some people, that just doesn't really help. If you're not a scientist like me, if you're not a theologian like me, And you're just a person in the pews saying like, well, you know, dinosaurs lived, what, 65 million years ago. Why, you know, what does this Bible have to do with it? Yeah, how do I make all these connections? Mm-hmm. There's this long time span. Mm-hmm. And so for me as a journalist, that's what I wanted to kind of bridge that gap. And there is a large gap, and we're doing it little by little. And I will say, every day there's another resource that pops up, and it's not just a Lutheran resource. We do work ecumenically as you know, with this group too, and have historically, and maybe others want to talk about that. But I think it's just really important that we reach out to people in the pews and let them know that this is a dialogue that's going on and that it's important, and kind of put some context around it rather than it just being an academic exercise.
Oh, I love that, Susan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just a reminder, yeah, this podcast is happening because of a grant we got from our North Carolina Lutheran mm-hmm. Synod, and we are part of the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology. And a lot of us are Lutheran, but we hope that Lutheran congregations and Sunday school classes and young adult groups will use this podcast as a means for conversation starter and discussion to spark those important conversations. But, you know, it's not just Lutheran. These questions broad from people of many different faiths and religions, and even no faith or no religion affiliation. So religious affiliation. So I think that's important too. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. I'll go now and just say that, like, yeah, I'm a Lutheran pastor in the North Carolina Synod at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chapel Hill. I am on the doorstep right across the street from University of North Carolina. And so part of our ministry is with campus ministry students, and a lot of my members happen to be professors and scientists. And so we can't escape these questions, the big questions of who am I? What do I feel called to do? And where are we headed? It's a big part of how we do life together here in my present context. But I grew up thinking I was going to be into or major in marine biology myself, because I love the ocean and surfing, and then thought I would just play with dolphins and surf all the time. But I took a chemistry lab and a biology class and made C's in them and said, no, maybe not. And so we kind of felt the call to ministry, heard the call to ministry. And then it has been a part of working with youth and young adults and really disciples of all ages to whatever question they bring, to be open and affirming and to engage that and to listen to what questions they have. And a lot of questions revolve around the acceleration of science or big scientific questions and how it relates to our faith and the Bible. So I've always been curious about those things and love my work with the Alliance and other facets of these conversations. It brought me a lot of joy and have enriched my own faith with a part of this. And I geek out on, I'm a big sci-fi geek and nerd. So I geek out about cosmology big time and in space and if they're aliens or not, and what would that matter if we discover life beyond our solar system, what would that look like? So I'm really curious about those things. Thomas, why don't you introduce yourself just real quick? What do you geek out on? And then we'll go to Bruce, because there's some other things I want Bruce to expand upon.
Mm-hmm. Really, the conversation for me started in high school. I'm a sponge. I absorb everything, and it kind of just sits. So my brain files everything away in kind of an alphabetical, topical order. High school biology, learn about evolution, and I'm like, huh, interesting. I then have a conversation with someone who takes the Bible literally, meaning the Bible says it, I believe it, that's it. That invited me to have more questions. Largely in part, I wanted an answer, and I wanted to know more about this. So when I went to the College of Charleston, I intentionally took classes that not only challenged my faith, but also expanded it. I also happened to be rediscovering Lutheranism at that time. I was born Lutheran, baptized and confirmed Lutheran, but I didn't know much of what Luther taught or what some of the basic teachings were. I took my astronomy 101 class, astronomy 201, and I'm like, I'm hooked. And college is where I started to find the threads together between science and faith. As I progressed more in college, I became interested in public policy. Okay, how does faith, science, and public policy intersect together? What are the common threads? So I tend to geek out on a lot of things, but I'm also interested in how faith, science, and policy all come together, which is one of the topics Will and I are going to be we're going to be talking about public health. Okay, how does faith, science, and public health all come together? Yeah, so I'm interested in finding those strands. That's what gives me curiosity and awe and wonder. Usually happens when I'm watching the stars. And speaking of awe, wonder, and curiosity, I'd like to invite Bruce, who was, as our colleague Dana mentioned, was chair of the Alliance when Dana joined.
Thank you, Thomas and Will. It's a joy to be with you today. And yes, I'm a retired Lutheran pastor, ordained in 1982. I started college at MIT, planning to be a professional astronomer. I was, yes, a science nerd from all growing up. Actually, it was while I was at MIT that I had a real awakening and deepening of my faith. And started feeling called to pastoral ministry. But through seminary and early years of pastoral ministry, yeah, I still loved science. Still was an amateur astronomer, had telescopes, I've always loved letting people look through telescopes to see the moon or Saturn and Jupiter and other galaxies and such. And wondered how I could relate. Like Ida, I went to that conference in Moorhead, Minnesota in 1993, and that's when I got onto the work group, later the Alliance, and started realizing what really drew me, what I love so much about astronomy, was just the awe and wonder of it. I mean, an incredible universe. When you look at the moon through a telescope, you know, you see it really as another world. And, you know, when you look at this fuzzy little patch of light and say, you know, that light that's under my eye now has been traveling for 65 million years at 186,000 miles per second, just under my eyeball. I mean, you know, what's more incredible than that? And I realized that awe is really what faith is about. You know, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, one of the leading Jewish theologians of the 20th century, you know, said awe is the fundamental religious emotion. Einstein talked about it as the sense of the mysterious, and said, you know, it's underlies all serious endeavor in faith, science, and art. And so I started having what I called weekends of wonder retreats with telescopes and such, and praying that the weather would be clear. Started talking in my congregation and others. I've spoken at over two dozen congregations now, usually just the title of Standing in Awe, done workshops on it for local lifelong learning institutes, spoken to Gowanus and Rotary clubs, and I think basically anybody will let me talk about one wonder.
Bruce, if you remember one time through the Alliance, we did a whole series on Zoom, I think it was around 2020, yeah, when we were being a little more creative, yeah, you know. That's, and yeah, you know, you mentioned 200 congregations. You've been in a lot more than 200 congregations, because a lot of people showed up to that too.
Okay, two dozen. If I've said 200, it was two dozen. But yes, but yeah, that the ELCA for a while had global mission events and global universities, and got to speak at eight of those sponsored by the Alliance and other things. And basically I was, you know, saying, just anybody that'll let me talk about awe and wonder and the universe and God, I'm happy to do it. And usually they have to kind of, okay, time's up.
Yeah, I love that, Bruce. And yeah, your email is Star Pastor, is it not?
Mm-hmm. It,
yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, pastor@aol.com.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Somebody took Gmail before me. So
that's right. That's right. Well, you're a star pastor. And we were talking about and brainstorming this podcast, you reached out and you're like, I want to make sure that we don't miss that awe and wonder and curiosity is the common ground that both faith and science can hang out together in the same room and have conversations around. That can be the sandbox that we play in, because often people of faith or have spiritual encounters, are captured by the awe and wonder and curiosity of the universe and the big questions of who we are and who is God. Is there something behind this? Is there a moral arc to the universe? And then those who are in the sciences, usually there's something that sparks some awe and curiosity and wonder in terms of what makes this molecule do what it is. Or a member of my church who's an evolutionary biologist who is really curious about how certain frogs and toads reproduce. And they went into like that part of evolutionary biology. And so usually that's the baseline. So we are going to play around with that in this series, asking our scientist friends and theologian friends to reflect on wonder, curiosity, and why does that spark or inspire or lure them to get into these conversations and the questions that people are wrestling with and engaging with. So I appreciate that reminder that is what we're doing and we can hang out with and share with each other and be vulnerable to each other and say, yeah, this is what I find incredible and inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have a website on Mystery, Awe, and Wonder in Faith and Science on mysteryandawe.com. And yes, I've got dozens of quotes or more from scientists talking about how, the awe and wonder is why they're really involved in science, as well as in quotes from theologians and such. I read at one point at a conference, a large number of biologists asked, how did you get hooked on this? And almost, somebody said, well, there was this pond in the neighborhood that you went down, and somebody said, raise your hand if you went to a pond or creek or something as a kid, and virtually every biologist raised their hand, and that was the wonder of that is what got them hooked in that area. As I said, for me, it's the stars and planets, but everything in this world, if you're willing to take it seriously, is an inspiration of awe and wonder.
I love that. And you remind me of Psalm 8 when, I look at the heavens and I start pondering and reflecting on what are we, oh Lord, that you're mindful of us. And so I think for as long as humans have been around and can reflect upon ourselves and have that consciousness, we've looked at the stars and we've asked, how big is the universe? Where's my place in the universe? And I think Psalm 8 is a great poem and hymn that kind of captures that awe and wonder. It often been used in faith and science conversations around kind of like, I look at the stars and who am I and who is God? I think that's great. I want to go around here. We're going to share a little bit kind of some of our favorite resources that we like for folks. But I do want to ponder a little bit. When someone comes to you with a question around faith and science, what are some healthy approaches that you all have? I'll go first and just kind of mention this because I don't want to forget, is that when someone comes to me and has a question, I want to be really clear in terms of how we define the terms. So if somebody comes to me, I think defining terms and having a common ground of what we mean by certain words is important. When someone comes to me and says, doesn't know I'm a pastor, do you believe in God? I pull a Dana and I ask a question back and I'm like, well, what do you mean by God? Because I think that's important. Or what do you mean by science? What do you mean by evolution? What do you mean by cosmology? So starting to look at those terms and really define the terms helps some common ground in terms of how you ask those questions. So that's one thing that I found helpful, especially with our engagement with faith and science with campus ministry students. When we have open forums about this is not a bait and switch. What questions do you have? All questions are valid. Let us know. I'm really curious about the questions you have. When they start listing questions and then we start getting into trying to address the questions, not necessarily answer them in a nice tight bow, but address them and approach them. I like to get behind what do you mean by these certain terms? So that's one way. Others, what are some healthy approaches you think?
I tend to usually give an answer, and then starting off, I usually give an answer, but that recently, baby pastor here, I've been asking more questions, and tell me more. I'm curious, what do you think about that? And if they're genuine and asking the question, they'll unpack it, or they may just say, or they may be thinking, I want to try to catch the pastor. And it can go either way. I tend to look at it as they're curious about something, whether it's genuine or not. There's curiosity to their question. So I'm going to engage it. And what I tend to do is bring that a bit more in sermons, usually depending on the text. If there happens to be like a particular angle, for example, Job was read 2 weeks ago. And Will and I did a conversation that talked about Job. Or sorry, there will be a conversation talking about Job. I can't manifest anything. There will be a conversation about Job later on. My apologies. There you go. There's one of the topics. I brought in the science component to my sermon.
Nice.
Because those are the conversations I've had in my congregation.
Nice. Ida, Dana, Susan, is there anything there?
So this is Ida, and I guess I want to point out from the standpoint of being a Lutheran layperson, my engagement would be before I retired, but after that is in the workplace. And from that angle, it may be people trying to understand how I can be a person of faith who's working in a scientific or technical environment. And below all of this, I think the other thing is we're 21st century Christians. We live in a saturated scientific and technical environment. There's no other place that we live other than this is where it is. So we should be having such conversations. The biggest thing going around now is artificial intelligence and how many students are using AI to write papers, et cetera, et cetera. I want to hold up that one place that I remember a discussion that happened well between faith and science was at the churchwide assembly in 2011, as people were discussing the ELCA social statement, genetics, faith, and responsibility.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I think it was Dana as a pastor. I think I most often encounter all the time, just the question about evolution. And because I've been at this so long, I want to be like, let's get more creative on your questions. Simply because how about if we want to be, you know, literalists, let's talk about what science would have to say about Mary being impregnated by the Spirit. Or, you know, like you can kind of poke in other places. But I do find like the basis where most people in a conversation, their mind immediately goes to the church's fight of science having evolution and the church saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or the Garden of Eden story, you know, because we have those two stories. And when I encounter that, I mean, the most basic answer is that, you know, scripture is not a science book. Scripture reveals to us Christ, and it's who did it. Not how it was done, but if you really want to get wild, how? Whenever that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, when they wrote that, I don't even know. Does anybody here know when that was written? It was before Christ, a long time. Go geek out, Thomas. Give it a go.
Written 500 years before Christ.
About
thereabouts.
So a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, how did they get evolution right? How? You know, from the land to the light to the fact that the sea creatures come first and then it is that story. Like, how do they know that? There's just this beautiful knowing that God gives us and continues to give us today. And if we can continue to tap in it, we'll just see even more beauty that God continues to reveal.
Yeah.
I did that with confirmation. And the one question I got was, what about the dinosaurs?
Susan just geeked out.
Yeah, Susan just geeked out. Like, and I actually found a book Call what?
Those
what about
kids are my kids, Thomas.
One of my resources is what about the baby dinosaurs? Which, and my answer was, it's a really good question. People are wrestling at it for years. Short answer is, it all goes back to God.
Like, are they asking why the dinosaurs died, or are they asking if God made dinosaurs?
Why did they show up in the Bible? I feel like
we got
where
all those.
They?
Yeah. Why are the dinosaurs not mentioned in the Bible? I'm like, and someone brought up the Natural History Museum. I was like, yeah, dinosaurs are there. They're probably older than the Bible, but it all goes back to God. And for me, that was kind of the main focus. And when we get to the Christmas story, talking about the star of Bethlehem, then I'm the work in some more faith and science and talk about how the church has wrestled with these topics for centuries. But it all points to who?
Have you heard the argument that God put dinosaur bones in the earth, or the devil put dinosaur bones in the earth to sway us from believing what is in scripture? I've been thrown that one before.
I thought he put the dinosaur bones in the earth to give us oil for our cars.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, God. Let's just keep polluting everywhere.
Yeah. Susan, you look like you're ready to pound. Yeah, let's do it.
You guys have done kind of the stuff I've heard over the years and even dealt out at a time, you know. I mean, answering a question with a question, that's why I'm still at this. If you ask a theologian these questions, you're just going to get thrown back a bunch of more questions. And boy, oh boy, that is annoying. But, and you'll just have a reading assignment that never ends. But what I will say, if someone approaches me, and this has happened, you know, in my congregation, or even I have been approached by family members who are atheists. Like, why do you believe this is a thing? What does this matter? And, you know, there's a lot that I've experienced in my life that I don't have any understanding of. But that doesn't mean that someday I won't have understanding of it. But what I do know is there is something at work, and even science will show this, that there's something in, with, and under this creation that's at work that I can't explain. And I'm curious about, and I'd like to know more about. And to the extent that science can explain some of what's going on around me is amazing. And the idea that my faith can inform me to feel like I can ask these questions is just the world to me. Yeah. And, you know, I think what usually gets these people who are atheists, there's just the sense of, are you kidding me? There are scientists who actually have faith, that have a religion. They're shocked by this because the public media will have you, you know, mainstream media will have you believe that that is not the case. And boy, oh boy, we on this call here, we all know somebody. And we love these folks in our lives who are, you know, people of faith and scientists. And so I kind of look to them as the proof that I need that, hey, I'm not crazy here. There is something more to this. And I will say the way we kind of fight that perception that faith and science are in conflict is you have to show dialogue. And mm-hmm. I think right now, especially as a country, we need to show how dialogue works.
Yeah.
Susan, I want to pick up on one thing you said. When you keep asking the question, you keep going at it, you're going to end up with a 900-page theology textbook that pastors in training are going to read.
Oh, are you giving me an assignment now?
No, I'm talking about what I had to go through in seminary.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot. That being said, you picked up on another really good point of having dialogue and how the mainstream media likes the conflict.
Yes.
And that it's easy to see science versus faith because particularly in the United States of America, that's ingrained, that's embedded, that's baked into our DNA. At the same time, though, that's not also the reality.
Right.
People find conflict sexy. They find the clickbait, and it's like, all right, there's this Christian going against the scientist. It's created a media industrial complex. At the same time, though, there is that remnant. There's that small group of scientists who are Christian, but also scientists who are devoutly religious, and they see science and harmony together. They draw their faith influence their science, and their science and their faith. It's like a river. It flows together. Bruce had a question, or Bruce raised his hand.
Yep, go for it.
Just one of the biggest misconceptions is that faith is all about having answers, and that science is all about having answers. Science is not about having answers.
Right.
Science is about exploring and getting closer to answers, but keep finding out that, Oppenheimer wrote that the 20th century physics was all about, people thought, it's like being in a cavern, big underground cavern, thinking, okay, we pretty much explored it, and then somebody finds this little hole here that leads into another, and suddenly there's more, caverns over there, and as soon as they think, that's it, then another thing opens up over here, and realizing we never get to the bottom of it. Einstein talked about, it suffices to have, a mere glimpse kind of what's going on, which, First Corinthians 13, famous for the love passage, but talks about, now we see, dim, confusing reflections in the mirror. Einstein used that same thing. That's the reality of both faith and science. But there are those absolutely in both, organized religion and in science who, want to say that they have all the answers. And yes, I mean, we struggle to be able to address and come up with at least some answers for it. But it's so important. And that's, again, the awe and wonder of realizing that there's always going to be more to it than we will understand, and respecting that and being willing to share that rather than wanting to impress people with we have the answers and show that we're right and such. You're talking about Job, and I read something recently, maybe you did too, of Walter Brueggemann talking about Job and his conclusion, the main point at the end was being right is not a substitute for being amazed. That's what those last chapters of Job is about. Yes, Job was, had integrity. He was a good person. He was right. But being right is not a substitute for being amazed. Mm-hmm. And I loved that quote, that insight.
Yeah, I love how you're tapping into kind of going into these questions with humility. I think that, and not being defensive, or I think a lot of the conflict that comes between faith and science is it's like wrestling over like power and control and influence and competing for attention and resources and money. And I think that's what got the church in trouble way back with Galileo. I think that's what's happening now in terms of the tension that we see arising is there's this competition for who has the most power and influence. We don't want to let that go. But if we go into this with humility and curiosity, then we'll be open to listening and not being defensive. I think hearing the questions as an attack against you or getting really defensive is going to turn somebody off. So being open to that curiosity and tell me more is, I think, is great. And I think Bruce, you nailed on the head right there with what you said with that. I think that's a big part of that. And when it comes to like what I tell our students, when it comes to Genesis and evolution and these days, I'm like, they're just using the science of the day, which is the observation of their eyes. And so they're smart too. They are trying to figure out the world, and the sky does look like a dome. They're just trying to describe what it looks like with their eyeballs. They don't have a huge telescope or the James Webb telescope, but they're just using what the resource they have, and that is their experience and their own eyeballs that are trying to describe by also saying, this isn't necessarily a science textbook, but sharing who's behind all this, like you talked about with the who. God is behind all this, but yet still gives us the gifts of intellect and curiosity and being co-creators with the world to be able to explore these together and understand it. What a gift that is to try to understand this world and explore it. And often when you have one question and you start wrestling with that, you're going to have 20 more. And faith should be like that too. Mm-hmm. Faith should be like that too. Not just like at one point we're going to solve it all. Here's the end of end all. And there's no curiosity on wonder and more questions to explore. Bruce.
Yeah. One other thing that I am thrilled by, how science impacts faith and how we look at things. I remember in seminary, one of my classmates asked professor, what do you do? How do you respond to a child whose dog has died? And, will my dog go to heaven? And the professor's answer was, well, sometimes children ask childish questions. And that really bothered me, probably more than anything else in seminary. And years later, John Polkinghorne, who was one of the top quantum physicists in the world, who then became an Anglican priest and theologian, said, the question of will my dog go to heaven is one of the most important theological questions. Does God just care about human beings, or does God really care about all creation? And of course, it's not just specifically my dog going to heaven, but the Bible is very clear. First Colossians 1 talks about, God reconciling to himself through the cross all things in heaven and on earth. And what in the world in heaven needed to be reconciled with God, I have no idea. But I love that, the emphasis is there. It's all things. And so all of creation, all of nature, yes, is where God is active and God is loving it and seeing all of it as an incredible endeavor of love by God.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, in this series, we have a series of questions that we're going to ask. They're not all the questions. There's a lot more out there, but we selected five questions that people often wrestle with when it comes to the faith and science or engage with. And it's evolution and Genesis, cosmology and astrotheology, artificial intelligence and technology, the question around pain and suffering, which is when we get into the book of Job and that text, and also the science of healthcare. And with all these questions, how we answer them, how we approach them really reveals how we see ourselves, how we see our neighbor, how we see God, and how we engage with creation around us. So oftentimes the question is there, but how we answer it, how we engage with it, will often reveal who we believe ourselves to be, who our neighbor to be, and who we believe God to be. So I think being careful and intentional and humble with these questions is a really, really good approach. We have a little bit of time left. What I want us to do now is there's some resources out there. We're not the only podcast out there talking about this. There's a lot, but there's a few things we want to lift up that I think are helpful. I'll list, of course, there's the Alliance, the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology. We'll have conversations with some guests and friends from BioLogos, which is another great resource. Mm-hmm. Science for the Church is a fantastic resource and a website that they use to help equip churches to engage science and to think of the big questions. And of course, we don't want to, as Ida mentioned, the ELCA social statements often engage scientific questions and challenges and opportunities before us. What am I forgetting out there? Bruce mentioned Polkinghorne, fantastic man, prolific writer and engager with this subject. Is there a book? Is there a resource? Is there a person like, hey, folks, if you really love what's going on in these conversations, here how you can go deeper.
Well, one of the plugs for the Lutheran Alliance for Faith, Science, and Technology is our monthly newsletter, Covalence, which is edited by Susan, one of our members. Thank you, Susan, for. Covalence is a wonderful resource to kind of start poking at the questions, to ask the questions of where do I begin? And Covalence has written on many topics. I have contributed several articles to that. And in addition to just general news articles, there's also interviews with authors, there's interviews with scientists, there's reflections of Lutheran theologians who have gone on before us. There's a whole slew of things. There's also a tab for youth curriculums. If you're looking to how do you have the conversation with kids, there's also contact information. If you're like, hey, I'm thinking about this, what does this look like? Getting hold of one of the steering members or committee members. Or also if you just want to join the steering committee, we're always looking to hear different voices. I like books. I really love books. This is an audio podcast, but I'm sitting in front of my bookshelf. There's a lot of books. Since I like cosmology, there's an author named Paul Wallace. He's an astrophysicist who worked at the Goddard Space Center in Maryland. I believe that's right. But he's also a theology professor, and he works on integrating the two faith and science together. He also wrote a book on Job, and that was one of my introductions into the whole faith and science conversation, and I loved it.
Nice. Others? Anything else? Anybody else want to share some resources? Quick hits.
This is not so much it is somewhat a resource for people, but just to let people know that throughout the 30 plus years of the Alliance, we have always been a part of the Ecumenical Roundtable for Science, Technology, and the Church, with often Presbyterian, sometimes Roman Catholic, Episcopal, United Church of Christ. We've had Orthodox and Baptist and Roman Catholics and others. And there's Polkinghorne and just dozens of outstanding theologians now. But one of the things, you know, the round table was always intentional about, we are looking at it. We love the theology and respect and want to learn from it, but we're talking about how we share that with the church. Mm. And the Alliance at points has had Sunday scientist gatherings and other things to try to help people in the church, scientists and others, really better understand this dialogue. And Ida, I know, wants to get in on this, and she's been a part.
Well, I just want to mention that the American Association for the Advancement of Science, which is a 150-year-old society known as the AAAS, back in 1995 established the program on dialogue on science, ethics, and religion. So if you go to the AAAS webpage and you look for DOSER, you can find information about that from what the AAAS has done.
Cool. That's great. And then Dana, did you have something else?
Yep. I'll just add, kind of as a capstone on the end, there was a brief chapter in my life I kind of went out and was interviewing scientists. And so on the Alliance's YouTube page, there are three videos up that are titled "I'm Lutheran and a Scientist." Three very different professions, even people from different cultures. So that's something you can also check out if you just kind of want some interesting dialogue of us bantering back and forth about their faith journeys. When I was creating them, I was just hoping, you know, it could help pastors have dialogue with kids who, or even adults who are maybe struggling with that idea of being a scientist. Like, can I have faith and still do it? Mm. I found it deepened my faith though, because, talking to these people, if you get deep enough, it kind of brings you back to God and oneness. Mm.
Oh, almost like awe, wonder, and curiosity will bring you back around to explore. Ah, there you go. Yeah, those are all great, great research points. So as you listen to these episodes, we're going to be engaging with these questions, and we're going to be putting in the show notes different resources that you can engage. And we're just mentioning a few, which is, it's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the resources that are out there. That often, as Thomas said, the stereotype or kind of the default reaction is that, yep, there has to be, or the media loves a good fight that has more clicks on debates that will own each other rather than a healthy conversation. But there's so many resources and people out there who are really passionate and open to having healthy conversation between faith and science. So we hope with each episodes that you'll gather, perhaps in a Sunday school class, perhaps in a small group, whether it's at Sunday school or a different kind of like a book study, you know, except listen to an episode during the week, gather on a Sunday or during the week with your group. And then what did you hear? What sparked curiosity in you? What did you disagree with? What did you really resonate with? All those questions like you do with a Sunday school class or reading a text of scripture or another book. Get curious, get open, get honest with it. And we hope you listen and have some good conversations around these things and in whatever resource, whether it's a Lutheran congregation or whether it's an ecumenical partner. Use it for that. And then reach out to us. If you have extra questions, if you have things you're curious about, you can find us on the interwebs. We have an Instagram account called Your Matter Matters. You can DM us there and we'll be happy to engage with you there. So we're excited about these conversations, excited about these questions. Again, disclaimer, if you're looking for a nice, succinct answer with a bow on top, never to be addressed again on these questions, you've come to the wrong place. We're just going to open up, have some conversations, have fun with it, and we hope that it will open more questions and curiosity for you in your life. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to thank Ida, Dana, and Susan, and Bruce for being with us on this initial pilot episode of Your Matter Matters, and there'll be more to come down the road. So Thomas, I think we're going to all try, all six of us. We're going to try this.
And we're going to do it.
This is going to be.
This may be it.
This may be it. On the count of three, we're all going to say together at the same time, "Your matter matters," and see where that goes. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, and remember, your matter matters. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Nailed it.